十三斤这不成就，三斤斤那三斤斤那那，抢救班的那那点子，那边斤送这边送那斤，找那边斤三斤这不成就，三斤斤那三斤斤那，抢救班的那那点子钱，那边斤送这边送那斤，找那边斤三斤这不成，三斤斤那三斤斤那那，抢救班的那那点子钱，那边斤送这边送那，找那边斤三斤这不成就。看给我不定金了，我没把你都说一些年没上面去白面带了抢钱咯。
Indicating that explanation of the abandonment of the two extreme of the compendium of the ascertainments has the same essential as that in the ground of Bodhisattva. The furthermore, Asanga's compendium of the ascertainments says, it should be known that adherence to other powered natures and thoroughly established nature as imputational nature is an extreme of superimposition. So, over-exaggerating on imputational nature is one of the extreme of superimposition. Underestimating on other power nature as a naturelessness is deprecating other power natures. So the extreme of deprecation is deprecation of own character by holding that other power natures and thoroughly established natures do not exist by way of their own character. So whereas they actually do, one should understand thoroughly the mode of meaning of suchness in the manner of abandoning those two extremes. So realization emptiness is free from those two extremes. So, and mind only school, realization of emptiness, empty of truly existence in imputational nature, so being basis of the name, is the free from two extreme of superimposition, extreme of deprecation of own character. And then Asanga speaks of the deprecation of own characters in which it is held that the last two nature, so that is other power natures and thoroughly established natures, are not established as existing by way of their own character, whereas they actually are the truly existence. So, and the ground of Bodhisattva and this compendium of ascertainments have the same way of positing the extreme of superimposition and deprecation and that emptiness which is the abandonment of them. So emptiness is free from true overestimation, and realization of emptiness is free from true extreme overestimating and underestimating. And Lama Tsongkhapa says that imputational natures do not exist is not this system, is not this system. So furthermore, the non-existent of imputational factor is so ultimately, it is not that in general, imputational natures do not exist in conventional terms. So when you empty the imputational, truly existing on imputational natures, that does not mean that abandoning and annihilating the imputational natures or not believing the existence of imputational nature. So just emptying the truly existing on imputational natures. On or in, I don't know. And here, Now, description on three nature. So first, the other power natures. So Compendium of Ascertainment says, the question, it is not to say that what is posited by way of whatsoever name and whatsoever the verbalization, that is conceptual consciousness to those other power things such as clear realization is the entity of those. Now here it's talking about the imputer and the term that's imputing imputational natures. So what is the nature of that imputer? Thought consciousness, the imputing imputational natures, term that expressing the imputational nature. So what is the nature of that, those two imputer? So it says it is truly existent or not truly existent. Is the truly existent or just mere imputation? Entity of those, or is it to be said that is not the entity of those? So that means, is it truly existent or not truly existent? So here is a focusing on those two imputed, the thought and the term. And answer, it is not to say that it is the entity of those conventionally. It is to be said that it is not the entity of those ultimately. So in here we said Joksu Thangbo and Joksu Nyiba. This is my own school, a little bit complexity in this term. So Joksu Thangbo means here the first to the positing the meaning of conventional truth. And the second and the statement that expressing the meaning of conventional truth. The first there says, whatever the things that is produced by cause and condition is ultimate or the truly existence. And the second, that is things that is not produced by cause and conditions is just imputed by mere thought and term that is not truly existence. And second, in this compendium ascertainment has a different description on conventional truth and ultimate truths. This is really talking about conventional truth and ultimate truths. The first statement, it explaining what is the truly existent, what is not truly existent, right? So truly existent is the things that are produced in cause and condition, and the very nature of that other power nature is truly existence. And other than that, the third nature, the imputational nature, is not truly existent because it's mere imputed by thought and term, right? Now here, different way of explaining the conventional truth and the ultimate truth. So in explicitly they stated in this compendium ascertainment says it is not said that those two imputer, the thought in term, is entity of those conventionally. Said that it's entity of those conventionally. So term and thought is a conventionally exist, right? Conventionally exist because it, what object of those two, term and thought, is a conventional existence. And so those two subjects only engage in conventional nature. So therefore it is also a conventional truth, right? Now here it is not said that is not the entity of those ultimately, because now term and thought is not engaging in ultimate nature, and because of that, as the true subject, the term and thought cannot be ultimate nature, right? Ultimately consciousness, ultimately subject.
Right.
So this is the first statement and second statement. This is the second statement of describing on true nature. The first statement is describing on what is the truly existing and what is not truly existing. Now here, so this describing only the true truth, right? True truth, and because here also the Asanga speaks of that imputational nature which becomes an object of observation by the consciousness that is produced in dependence upon name and due to the force of being thoroughly, accustomed by the verbalization. And then he says, because it is imputedly existent, not ultimately existence. So here in Tibetan words, ngombra jeba la yonso khombe ming la tembe nambra shebas. So it's the word, the first coming here, Asanga speaks of that imputational nature which becomes an object of observation by the consciousness that is produced in dependence of the name and due to the force of being thoroughly accustomed to verbalizations. So now imputational nature, being basis of the name, is something happened to exist because of the thought consciousness or and term that expressing like this is part and this is big part, this is small part, this is good and this is bad, right? Those two are engaging on object, not by the force of the object side, is the force of being thoroughly accustomed to verbalizations. Because of too much habit of labeling on that, that force you to express this is good and bad. So becoming the basis of good and bad is happen to exist by the mere by the force of term and thought. All right. Number job, but thing when you can't even job. Okay. And then here, so what are the imputational natures that are, imputed existence? So whatever the imputed existence, not necessarily to be exist in general. So being basis of name of pot, being basis of name of house, tree, are not truly existent, not ultimately existent, but it exists in general. Now, whatever the imputed existence, not necessarily to be exist in general, because here and such as self-sufficient I and independent existence of imputational natures. Those two are imputedly existent, not exist in general. Therefore, since among the imputational natures, there are some, such as uncompounded space or the being referent of the conceptual consciousness. So that exists. Now here, these are the imputedly existent, and it exists in general. The space, uncompounded space, being reference of conceptual consciousness, so mean becoming basis of the name, those two are exist. And that exist, and other that do not exist, although the imputational factors, although those is It is imputational factors such as the two self of the person and of phenomena do not occur among objects of the knowledge. So these are not objects of knowledge, that means not existence. So that is do not exist. This mere fact does not make all imputational factors into not occurring among the existence. Hence, substantially, existence and ultimate existence are refuted with respect to imputational natures. Substantial existence, ultimately existence, ultimate existence are refuted with respect to imputational natures. But imputational natures in general are more specifically existent. Imputational natures are presented as imputed existence and conventional existent. So when we are refuting or negating some things, we are negating independent existent imputational nature, the truly existent imputational nature, and self-sufficient I. So we are not negating the I. We are not negating being basis of the name, right? Negating. So we are not negating that the existence of being basis of the name, because it has to be exist. This is the base of expression, right? If you do not have as an object, the being basis of the name as an object to the thought consciousness, and there is no way of expressing thing. There is no way of labeling an object. So therefore, being basis of the name, although this is not truly existent, but still exists in general, right? What is not existent, that is imputedly existent, is self-sufficient I, independent existence or imputational nature, independent existence or being basis of the name, right? Yeah.
This one here, substantial existence and ultimate existence, here are they equal or they mean two different things?
Substantial existence
and ultimate existence.
Now, when we refute that substantial existence on self-sufficient I, and there's no difference in the sense of negating on the self-sufficient I, either you negate substantial existence on the self-sufficient I, or you negate ultimate nature on the self-sufficient I. There's no difference. In general, when we negate, you can negate ultimate nature on other power natures. You cannot negate the substantial existence on other power nature, right? About this self-sufficient I, it's the same, right? Because when you negate substantial existence, self-sufficient I, so, and you are also negating that ultimate nature, right? So because, and when it appears the self-sufficient I to the thought consciousness, it appears substantial I, it appears ultimate nature. So when you negate the both.
So basically you're saying that if we're talking about the reference of Geshe Sherpa, and that does ultimately, I mean the substantial existence, but not ultimately.
Reference of what? Substantial existence, ultimate existence are refuted with respect to imputational natures. But imputational natures in general, or more specifically existing imputational natures are presented as imputed existence and conventional existence. So this is the term that is very, even the Tibetan words we say is jukshi, right? Jukshi and mingdobishi. So jukshi and mingdobishi, and it's like a reference of conceptual consciousness, a reference of labeling, reference of imputing. So that means that, how to say, I think this is more kind of explaining being basis of the name is the same. Reference, becoming reference of the label, becoming reference of conceptual consciousness, becoming reference of the term is the same. This is being basis of the name is the same. So when you just point on the other power nature, just only the reference, and then without talking about, without touching the conceptual consciousness, without touching the term, and only we are talking about the reference that really referring to the other power nature. So that is the truly existence. Right? When you say the reference of conceptual consciousness, that means it's imputation in nature. For that reason, explanation in searching the great commentary on the sutra, unraveling the thought, is not the thought of the sutra when this commentary says. Okay. Tishu gondi nyam dejen kaji le, kunda denpa nyigar me la sungzi nyi ji shiwangi tenjin dewa jungwa yuma da, dewa kunzub du yuba da. Yungzhu tuyen tamba ya yena, ngowe nyi mebe sudu yuba tuyen tamba yuba yena, sheshiwa nudu kumba me la. So this is commentary that is this is one of the commentary is making a comment on that sutra, the unraveling thought. So those is kind of mixing the middle way approach and mind-only school is the same. It's mixing together. So they were saying, for that reason, explanation in a certain great commentary on the sutra unraveling the thought is not thought of the sutra when this commentary says, imputational factors do not exist as there of the truth, ultimate or the conventional. Dhamma nigar melas means imputational natures do not exist in conventionally or do not exist in ultimately. So both, right? It says dependent arising of the other power natures of apprehended object and apprehending subject, which are different substantial entities, exist conventionally. So that means it's really believing in duality, subject and object, right? That is also believing in external object. And do not exist ultimately. So this is the middle way approach. Like magical creations, the thoroughly established nature is the ultimate. And its existence in the manner of naturallessness also ultimately exists. So this is very much like Chonamba's idea. So they are refuting that imputational natures exist in both truth, right, and conventionally and ultimately. And what is ultimately existence? And what is the truly existence? What is conventional existence? Other power natures are conventional existence. And imputational natures do not exist in both truth, unconventionally or ultimately. And emptiness is exists ultimately, truly exist. So this is not accurate the explanation, the commentary on Sutra Unraveling the Thought. So Sutra Unraveling Thought did not mention or stated this commentary is saying. Because Sutra Unraveling Thought, when they explain the definition of three natures, maybe you can go on. So this commentary is really saying that even the other power natures not truly exist, right? And do not exist ultimately like magical creations. Truly established natures is the ultimate, and its existence in the manner of naturallessness also ultimately exist. So here, is here. The production of non-natures. With respect to the second non-natures, the Sutra Unraveling Thought says, what are production of non-nature of phenomena? Those which are the other power natures, characters of phenomena. Why it is thus, those other power characters arises through the force of other condition and by themselves. Therefore, they are said to be production of natures. So they did not say this is not truly existence, right? So other power natures are production of natures because it's not produced by it's not arises from nowhere. Without cause and conditions. So therefore its other power nature is production of natures. So here in the commentary Janagadeshin. This is Janagadeshin means the Great China, the commentary. What is the name of this? I forgot. I think there's one name here. Before we saw this, and Jeffrey Hogan says Korean. Lama Zongpa was the Janagadeshin, so China commentary, right? So yeah, so this is one of the kind of misinterpretations and the Sutra Unraveling Thought. And again, the Chonamba, and based on this Sutra Unraveling Thought, Chonamba says, ultimate natures is only the clear light, and And that those two other power natures and imputational natures not truly existent, even that is not truly existent, ultimate nature, the imputational natures not truly exist in conventionally and that ultimately. And other power natures only exist in the face of mistaken consciousness, right? So only that truly existing, ultimate existing is the clear light. So ultimate nature referring to for the clear light that is realized emptiness. So and many of the great scholars in Tibet, they say, now you, that idea is really coming out from non-Buddhist and the Samkhya school. Samkhya school, they believe the liberation or the liberation mind or the liberated mind is liberated from the object. So objects are advertisement or the commercial that is created by the general existence. So sentient beings, when the sentient beings believe that is the true, and that is samsara, when the person who realize that is not true, that is just created by the general existence, and then the mind that is completely apart from that object, and ribhakakamba means the consciousness or the mental consciousness that is free from the object. So that is a liberated mind. So Chonambo almost is not really explicitly expressing the same as Samkhya school, but is going towards that. So this is clear light is the ultimate natures. And you do not have other power natures, imputational natures. These are just exist in the face of mistaken consciousness. That means in reality, they do not exist. Only it exists as a clear light. And you do not have the real object of the clear light. The clear light is empty of object. So this is really match with the Samkhya school. So Sunzinyi ji chong ge tenje ru juma cheba dan da wa as. Sunzinyi is here, Sunwan de Zimba here is apprehended object in apprehending subjects, which are the different substantial entities. Actually, Lama Tsongkhapa text did not explicitly mention that this commentary is believing in subject and object is duality or the separated. So Sunzinyi means subject and object being the true subject and object, the separation of the subject and object is like a magical or the magical creation. This is J.B. Hopkins says, which are the different substantial entities exist conventionally and do not exist ultimately, like magical creations. The truly established nature is the ultimate, and its existence in the manner of naturallessness also ultimately exists. So now J.B. Hopkins found that the reason why he should kind of make a mark, like which are different substantial entities, which is not explicitly stated in Lama Tsongkhapa text, because he found the second context here. This is not the thought of the Sutra Unraveling thought, because it is contradicts the proof of no external object in Asanga's summary of the great vehicle that is made within the citing the Sutra Unraveling the thought, and thereup on explanation of the external and internal object and subjects, which are the different substantial entities as imputational factors. So this is really being contradicted with Asanga's text. Asanga's, Lama Tsongkhapa said, this is believing that apprehended object and apprehending subject are true nature, are separated, and exist conventionally. So that is against or contradict with Asanga's text. Asanga's text is, how to say, mainly establishing that non-duality and apprehended object and apprehending the subject. So that is really contradict with the Asanga's text. Therefore, this is not the accurate the explanation or the commentary on the Sutra Unraveling Thought. And also, it also contradicts Asanga's ground of Bodhisattva and his compendium of the ascertainment. The furthermore, the passage of Dhammakirti's ascertainment of the prime cognition is cited in that above mentioned great commentary. Hence, one scholar's saying that it was written by the Asanga is a case of great absence of analysis. So this commentary is making a comment on Sutra Unraveling Thought by relying on one commentary that is composed by the great Indian the master. So by relying on that great Indian master's the commentary, there's the China, what is it, the master, he, how to say, making a comment on Sutra Unraveling Thought. So some says that the Indian, the master, the composed that Namnge, right? The passage of Dhammakirti's ascertainment of the prime cognition cited in that above explanation and the above mentioned great commentary. Hence, the scholar saying that it was written by the Asangas, a case of great absence of analysis. So this is not really the critically analysis on this, the commentary, just based on belief. In his compendium of the ascertainment, Asanga quotes the except for the introductory chapter of the Sutra Unraveling the Thought. Lingxi Liu, okay. So most of the remaining chapters and the settles settles the difficult points, hence there also does not appear to be any need for these masters, so that Asanga is composing this separate commentary. Lingxi Liu Ma Do Lingu Lama Na Pimbo Ji Tang Ji Kan Ji Na Liu Ba Di La Pa Di Lu Bin Di Ru Di Bu Su Di Di Gu Mi Nang Mo Su. So I think this is really refuting the great Indian masters, his commentary. Because Lama Tsongkhapa says, there is no need for your commentary because it's very easy or very obvious to explain the described in Asanga's text. So, Chiji Kajijas, this is Chonamba, he says, it is not the systems, the imputational natures do not conventionally exist and other power natures do not ultimately exist. Furthermore, one later scholars explained that is the thought of Asanga and his the brother Vasubandhu, that the first nature, imputational nature, does not exist. even conventionally, although the middle ones, other power natures, exist conventionally, it does not exist ultimately. And the latter, the thoroughly established natures, ultimately exist. This also is outside this system. So, is gone beyond to the mind-only system. From the mind-only systems, our mind-only as committed upon Asanga and Vasubandhu. I think Chonamba got that idea from this by reading the commentary and also this China commentaries is relying on the great, I mean, the one of the Indian masters. So, and they believe, they are saying that Indian masters, maybe he has the same name of Asanga, and this is composed by Asanga. So Lama Tsongkhapa said, this is not composed by Lama Tsongkhapa. There is no need. This is explanation from the compendium of ascertainments is very obvious and very clear about this. And through Sutra Unraveling Thought itself, it stated very clear about other power natures and imputational natures. So imputational natures do not exist. It's just empty, the truly existing imputational natures. Even they said example of the space. Space is just empty of obstruction and contact, right? So when you say the space is just empty of absence of obstruction and contact, that's not really emptying the space itself, right? So it's showing the characteristic of this as a space. So when you empty the truly existing imputational nature, you are not emptying the imputational nature itself, right? And when you come to the explaining on other power natures in Sutra Unraveling Thought, so this is just because of the other power natures is a production on nature, because it's not it's not arises from nowhere. It's something that is produced by cause and condition, right? So because of that, and we express or we say the other power natures are production on natures, not because other power natures are not ultimately existence, not because other power natures not truly existence. Production on nature means something that is really produced by cause and condition, not arises from the nowhere, right? So, so reason, the reason very kind of clear stated in Sutra Unraveling Thought and Asanga and Compendium of Ascertainment and the Ground of Bodhisattva, every those the commentary as did not say that the first two natures, other power natures, imputation and natures, only exist in the face of mistaken thought. Because of that's not truly existent or not ultimately existence, right? And okay. So when you start to believe or to follow this commentary, Chonamba and China commentary, and then you start to believe, and you begin to believing in that, like in particular, the wrong assertions that the meaning of other power natures existing and conventionally is just the mistaken consciousness conceived that production, the cessation and so forth exists in them. The cessation here is not talking about the cessation of the delusions. It's and the productions that sees and produced, right? Sees and produced, it exists in just mistaken thought, mistaken consciousness, wrong belief, wrong thought, just conceiving that the production natures are producing and seizing. So producing and seizing is only exists in the face of mistaken consciousness, mistaken thought. So that means if you believe that and you are believing those are not exist in general, not exist in reality, and you have no longer believing in cause and effect and law of causality, and whereas in fact production cessation, the production of the functional thing and the cessation of the functional thing and so forth do not exist. In the final deprecation of other power natures, due to which other two natures are also deprecated. Once you deprecate it on other power natures, you are deprecating imputational natures because you are deprecating the basis of imputational natures. And then also it's deprecating the thoroughly established natures because you are deprecating the basis of thoroughly established natures, which is other power natures. This is the chief of Nihala tree views described earlier in Asanga's Ground of Bodhisattva as a deprecation of all three natures. So this is really, when you look on Lama Tsongkhapa's history, Lama Tsongkhapa's story and his biography. So one time he was contemplating in the prayer hall with monks. Monks are doing the praying. Lama Tsongkhapa is contemplating on the meaning of the Heart Sutra, especially in emptiness. And then the biography says he was completely focused on that contemplations on the emptiness, and he did not hear any word that monks are verbalizing or something, right? So he never heard that words. Even the monks are finished their praying, they left the temple. Lama Tsongkhapa was still there and just leaning towards the pillar. And then, and after that, one time, and he happened to communicate with Manjushri, and he asked many questions about emptiness. Manjushri says, "You are two kind of fall into emptiness. Emptiness means more kind of falling into emptying things, not that emptying." Too much emptying things, that is, that is taking you far from understanding the dependent arising. So you are completely emptying. So that biography, this is, even though Lama Tsongkhapa at that time, he is more kind of going towards that the great commentary and the Chonangpa's idea, right? And he keep asking questions, and Manjushri answer for that, and Lama Tsongkhapa says, "I do not understand what you are saying." And Manjushri said, "Keep contemplate, read Buddha Palita's text and Chandrakirti's text, more read on those to scripture, and do the prostrations, purifications, and sadhana, follow the sadhanas in practicing, and then you will soon realize the emptiness in midway approach," right? So I think there is always danger. So when you very excited in emptiness. And you keep emptying things, and completely empty, and you do not have nothing. You have nothing to observe on the cause and effect. So you are all kind of taking yourself far from the believing in the cause and effect. That is one danger, is the falling into nihilism. So therefore, there's a Lama Tsongkhapa text, Gongpa Rabse, is a clear explanation of Buddha's thought. It says, to the disciple, that the how to say, appropriate disciple for the listening to the Chandrakirti text or the midway approach, have to have the feeling of compassion first. Someone who has a great compassion, someone who has a great renunciations, and that person, when you listen, hear the emptiness, explanation of the emptiness, if you have a tear and what do you call that, goosebump, and that is the sign that you are the real disciple of listening the emptiness. And minimum, at least you have to have a great devotion towards your guru. This is the one condition that can save you from falling into nihilism. So at least you have great devotion. So once this is the logical reason, because if you have great devotion into your guru, so that you have a very impact. It's a strong impact in your mind. There is something you can say that can save you. So that you are believing into one, the conventional thing. So functional things. There is a function, there is a blessing. So that can save you to falling into nihilism. Right. Other than that, you have to have a renunciation and a compassion. At least good... And some great masters and the Seraph Monastery, the one commentary, says, even you have the danger, so you are falling into nihilism, that is a good sign you are understanding, you have good interest, exciting, and emptiness. This is also as a good seed of, in the future, you will achieve the realization of emptiness. So this, so one thing maybe that is, so therefore it's a tantric practice, right? When you, the sadhana, if you have understanding, very small amount of understanding and emptiness, if you do the practice, try to transform yourself, make your mind more settled and settled, that transform into and deity and very often to do the practice, and that gives you understanding dependent arisings. Dependent arisings save you to falling into nihilism, right? Even maybe that kind of your understanding emptiness of self-sufficient I, and still there is a lot of benefit from that.
Because this, we are saying that although the middle one, the other part of nature exists conventionally, it does not exist ultimately. But if you go back to what Asanga just one page before, he already said that, you know, the invitation of some of them exist, and some of them does not. You know, some of them occur among upper knowledge, and then they are invitational, and some are not, if they are. Places. So here, I don't know, it's kind of quite obvious.
So this is number 15? You're talking about the Asangas? Number 15. So that is not the part of Sutra Unraveling Thought, because it just contradicts the proof of no external object in Asanga's summary of the great vehicle.
No, that it's actually just a paragraph before yours. It was already saying, not right before, but, they're saying that, in the part that the institutional factors such as the two selves do not occur in
Okay.
knowledge. This mere fact does not make all institutional factors into not occurring and not existence. So it's kind of like saying that it's not like all institutional factors that not exist.
Uh-huh.
But in here it says, if the first one, imputation, does not even exist conventionally, already different from what Asanga said.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second one says, although the middle one is conventionally, it applies ultimately.
Middle one, there's other power natures exist conventionally. So then, again, when you ask, what is the conventionally? How other power natures conventionally exist? They would say, it only exists in the face of mistaken thought.
That's what the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just saying
that
it's kind of quite obvious what they're saying is not what
Asanga
said already.
Yeah.
So
this is appreciation of the Lama Tsongkhapa.
Oh, because it wasn't clear before. Lama Tsongkhapa made it very clear that what Asanga has said and then what he said, so it's very obvious.
I think, during that time, Lama Tsongkhapa's time, there's many... the master that has a very, a strong interest and excited about the sutra unraveling thought. And when they read and they try to understand that, and sometimes, mostly we have that kind of a tendency, the people has that. When you listen something, you just interpret that what you feel, right? When you read the text, you want to follow your own feeling, but at the same time, you are trying to understand the text. So you are not completely, ignoring your feeling and try to completely focus on that meaning of the text. And then you have different understanding. You keep follow your feeling, your belief, and try to understand text. You always need to, it's like kind of dealing with your belief and the text meaning, and they try to put together, and you have a different commentary, right? If someone talking about the economic, and then you have your own feeling about your own economic, and then how you fail that, how you progress that, only that feeling, that understanding, you try to cover on that in general idea of the economic. So then you have a different description on that. Right? So when talking about this, this is very important. When someone talking about general economic, you have to completely focus on the general economic. Try not to take your interpretation on that. Right? So these are the master that is, even though they have a very strong interest, very strong, desire to understand the sutra, but still kind of keep following their own belief. So then they have a different commentary. It's completely contradict with Asanga's what it says. One time I heard that once His Holiness was giving the commentary on Heart Sutra in Washington. So one of my friends told me that he has a friend, a Western friend. He just went there for the teaching. He come out, and then he said, everything is empty. And then even he walked with him in the rain. He says, there's no rain, there's no water, empty. He got completely wet. But he says, no water, no wet.
When
we
heard Heart Sutra for the first time, it's like everything is empty.
Yeah.
It's partial to us. Like, no, everything. No.
It's no as it appears to our mind. But it's just, they did not understand that.
That's why I don't like when they said that, Asanga is kind of saying that the proof of the external object. That's what they say, right? I mean, you are saying not really that there's no external object, but then it's just that the external object doesn't appear as it appears. They are not saying that there's no basis of that object. When they're saying that there's proof of no external object, that it's not the same, because that makes you feel like they're saying there's no basis of that object. But then, actually, that's not what it means. When they say there's no external object.
So as this is the same, how is it, reason that Lama's Asanga's text refuted external object, and that's the same reason, same meaning that is refuted, and the substantial separations between apprehended object and apprehending subject, right? So the purest commentary there says there's a apprehended object and apprehending subjects exists as a magical creations. So that means it's believing it exists in general, right? So that indicates he is believing external objects. And Lama Tsongkhwa says, no, external object is refuted in Asanga's text. So there's a great master in Sakya during the Lama Tsongkhwa's times. He actually criticized many times, like there's many book that he's making a criticism of Lama Tsongkhwa's view. And he also believed that as the same as Chanangpa and this great commentary. So one of the great masters, and historically, he, how to say, gave audience, and the fully audience for a nun. He is the one. Shagyu Chonnen. He studied, or he just did that by himself. So therefore, now there's a very argument that historically we have that. Why can't we have now?
Oh.
Right? Yeah. So historically, the self-grasping is always grasping on a self-sufficient eye. So why why is not true now? So right now we are talking about what is the mistaken or what is not mistaken. We are not talking about what happened previously, what has happened now, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, wrong assertions that meaning of other power natures existing conventional is just that mistaken consciousness conceived that productions, the cessations, and so forth exist in them in mistaken consciousness. So whereas in fact production, the cessation, the production of the other power natures, cessation of the other power natures, is, and the forts do not exist in the final deprecation of other power natures, due to which the other two natures are also deprecated. So yeah, once you deprecated that other power natures, that means you are deprecating imputation in nature and thoroughly established natures. Hence the cheap nearly tree, the views. This is the cheap nearly tree views described early in Asanga's great the ground of Bodhisattva as a deprecation of all three natures. So mind only school very much is very much holding on law of causality and believing in cause and effect. So therefore they want to say the other power natures are the truly existence. So and they also have an understanding of emptiness of from their own view, and this is other power natures and cause and effects truly exist, substantially exist, not ultimately exist. Right. Ultimately means ultimate here. Tantamba is Bhava Vivek explanation on Tantamba. Tan and the Tamba. Tan here is the object. It's meaning that you are observing on. And Tamba means is an ultimate consciousness, meaning that observed or the understand or the realized by the ultimate consciousness, that is ultimate nature, ultimate truth, right? So other power natures are not that kind of ultimate natures, but still truly existence. Now here, and the second, dispelling the contradiction in our own tenets. First, showing the contradictions, and here, the second, dispelling the contradiction in our own tenets. So that is in this system of... mine own school. Actually, it's not really stated, say like this in Tibetan words. Change chupta la gyawa dhamma, rangi chupta la gyawa dhamma. Rangi chupta means, it's like our own tenets. Own tenets, and here the mind only school is the main holding on mind only system, right?
Awesome.
Mainly, our own tenets, mind only school. System of proponents of cognitions. Objection by the someone not distinguishing between ultimate existence and ultimate truth. So this is really complex. Complicated, and about the term that we use. So sometimes we say ultimately existence. Some say ultimate truth. It's a completely different, two different. Tuen Thambara and Tuen Tham Denpa is the similar word. Tuen here is not really Tuen Thambara. It means it's truly existent, and Tuen Thambara Tuba is the same. So ultimate nature, ultimate truth, Tuen Tham Denpa.
So you're saying you actually say it's a truly existent
form? I think it's... Even the Tibetan words, it's really dependent on how you're familiar with that term, right? If you're not much familiar with the term, how they use, and then better we use the first ultimately existence as a truly existence, second as a true nature. And then if you say that, and then you have to make a kind of the custom that ultimately existing always referring to the ultimate nature, and the emptiness, right? And then you cannot is ultimate truth is emptiness. Yes, I'm saying that if you kind of set the rule like the law, so instead of saying ultimately existence, this is more is mixed with the truly existent, right? If you make the rule here, so try not to use that term, ultimately existent, for the truly existence. We always use ultimate nature or ultimate truth to the emptiness. And whatever we talk about, the ultimate, and then always referring to the ultimate nature, and then there's no, I think there's having difficulties to translate Tuen Thambara in Tibetan words to the in English, so therefore we have to have a familiar. We try to familiar with this term, how they use. Between ultimate existence and ultimate truth, if in accordance with the statement that in Asanga's ground of Bodhisattva and Companion ascertainments, other power natures ultimately exist, then how does this not contradict the many statements that other power natures are not ultimate? So, other power natures are truly existence, therefore should be exist ultimately. And it seems like it contradicts with the statement that the stated other proper natures are not ultimate. 전담된바 ultimate truth, right? So this is, we already know this is a, so when you talk, when you say that other proper natures ultimately exist, that means 전담바르트바. 전담바르트바 means is a truly existence and ultimately existence. When you say that this is not the ultimate truth, it means this is not the object, it's a final object. This is the conceived object of the yogic, direct yogic perception.
Good, great question.
Yeah. ultimately existing, not necessarily to be ultimate truth. So other power natures are ultimately existence.
Good question to me.
Yeah.
Ultimate existence or ultimate truth?
Okay, ultimate, by definition, ultimate is ultimately existent. Right? Ultimate is not ultimately true. Gee, this word
true.
Where? According to
yeah, it's a seven. A link. What time do you have to go? It's a seven. Seven. Yeah.
Maybe she's the session doesn't go.
It's only 2 hours.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, Dembara Truba, Tuyan Tambara Truba, Dembara Truba, here's Dembara Truba, right? I think ultimate in Tibetan words, Dembara Truba, right? Demba means it's a true. And Tuyan Tambara Truba means the meaning that it exists as it appears to my ordinary mind or the conventional mind. So because of that, we use Dembara Truba and Tuyan Tambara Truba. Right. So Tendam Demba means ultimate truth. Tendam Demba means that ultimate refers to the direct yogic perceptions. Direct yogic perceptions, yeah, perceptions. Right, so Dembara Truba and ultimately existence, that means it's ultimate, it's a real, it's a truth as it appears to my conventional consciousness. Right, the statement in Sutra Unraveling Thought, whatever is the compounded phenomena is not ultimate. So Sutra Unraveling Thought, it mentioned that whatever is compounded, the other power natures, is not ultimate. If just as the eight the branches of the path of superior are of mutually different and different characters, the thusness of those phenomena. So eight the branches of the path of the superior are mutually different characters. So for mindfulness and okay, pama yala yang ta benga, okay, yang ta benga, ah yang ta benga. So ultimate speech, right? When you achieve the path of seeing, and then you have the quality that you achieve at the same time and ultimate speech and ultimate thought and ultimate the living way of living. So these are the qualities that is possessed within that path of seeing. So the qualities are mutually different. And ultimate speech and ultimate thought is mutually different because it's really it has a different function, right? So these are mutually different characters. Thusness of those phenomena, the ultimate. So those functional things, those productions are mutually different, and those characters are mutually different, but thusness of those phenomena, the ultimate. So ultimate of those eight branches are emptiness of those eight branches are ultimate, and the basis of those emptiness, which is the eight branches of the path of superior, are mutually different, and these are the conventional truth. The selflessness in phenomena also was different in characters. So selflessness of phenomena of ultimate speech, selflessness of phenomena on ultimate thought are the different characters. Then like selflessness of phenomena of the table, selflessness of phenomena of the chair are the different, right? Separate. Because the bases are the separated. Then thusness, the ultimate, the selflessness in phenomena also would be caused. So, yeah, branches of those five, eight branches of the path of superior are mutually different, substantially separated. I don't know. And emptiness of those eight branches are if the same as those eight branches of the path of superior substantially separated, then those emptiness has to have a cost. Is produced by cosmic conditions. So those qualities, those characters, eight characters, is something that is produced by cosmic condition. Because it's produced by cosmic condition, and has a different entity, different function. If the emptiness of those eight the branches are the same as those branches, is something substantially separated, and that must have a cosmic condition, right? So that means. And the eight branches of the path of superior are not ultimate, right? Not ultimate, and emptiness of those eight branches of superior are ultimate nature, ultimate truth. Now here it says, if it arose from the causes, it would be compounded phenomena. If it were a compounded phenomena, it would not be ultimate. Because of cause and condition, there are some things that are produced by cause and condition, and it has to be conventional truth. And things that are emptiness, ultimate nature of those, and then it shouldn't be produced by cause and conditions. Ultimate nature shouldn't be produced by cause and condition. It's ultimate natures, yeah, the Sutra Unraveling Thought, setting the example of ultimate natures, is absence space, just absence of obstruction and contact, right? A space is just absence of obstruction and contact is the nature of that space, right? And table is just empty of, empty of independent existence in being basis of the name of table is emptiness of the table. Now the basis that table is produced in constant conditions, and very nature of the table, that is empty of independent existence, truly existence of being basis of the name of the table. It's emptiness of that. That is ultimate nature, ultimate truth.
That's not production.
Yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah. No. If those, the emptiness of those eight branches are substantially separate as those branches, which is, right, because the cause and condition are substantially separated, right? So, and then those emptiness must have a cause. If that has a cause, and that is shouldn't be the ultimate.
That's where my question is. You said, why is emptiness, you know, would be, should have a cause?
No, this is not saying that it has a cause. It's hypothetically, if the branches is, the emptiness of those eight branches are the separate, right? Mm-hmm. But separate, not substantially separate. Mm-hmm. If those emptiness of those eight branches are substantially separate, as same as those branches, and emptiness should have cause, right? If the emptiness is produced by cause and condition, its emptiness cannot be ultimate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here, the statement in Maitreya, differentiation of the middle and the extreme. Uthale. So Tibetan was very simple. Uthale. So there is Maitreya, the differentiation of the middle and extreme. The ultimate is single. Ultimate is single as well as its the commentary by Vasubandhu. So first it says Asanga's says ultimate is single. So this is very strange for me. It's like when you it's Tambetun Chibo means ultimate is only ones. Ultimate is the only. So what is ultimate? Why ultimate is only? It's the only object of the direct yogic perceptions. It's only object of the ultimate consciousness, right? So that means it indicates that other power natures, imputation of natures, are not ultimate. Tanbe tuen is jibu, right? So it's a, here is a single, not married. Ultimate is the single, as well as its commentary by Vasubandhu. The ultimate truth is to be known as the single, thoroughly established natures. So this is, I think, it's very much a matter of coming, matter of the how you translate that. Tambe tuen ni jibu, tambe tuen is tamba here, tambe tuen ni jibu. Jibu is the only one, right? Tamba means is the meaning or the object of the ultimate consciousness. This is like meaning or the object of direct yogic perception is the only one. So that means among the three natures, only the emptiness is the only one, only object of the direct yogic perceptions. So indicates that among the three natures, only the emptiness is the object of direct yogic perceptions or ultimate consciousness. And the commentary on that by the Vasubandhus. Tuen tambani, yonzu tu bengo wani jiguri wachawus. Ultimate nature is only, belongs to, within the three nature, only belong to the ultimate nature. Right?
Why do you want to say this one? Because this is trying to say the many statements that are the part of nature are not ultimate. So 1, 2, 3, 4, right? That's the statement, other statement, many statements that are the part of nature are not ultimate. Then here said ultimate is one, single. What's that to do with other part of nature?
Because I think it has to be related with the previous statement. The previous they say is there are some. I think there's many kind of the argument. So when the scholar write a statement, right, the commentary. So they also have their own the corrections. They are correcting. During that time, the scholar or the master, they explain and different things on different commentary on the sutra and driving thought. And Asanga is also focusing on that, is trying to negate or refute the other master's understanding or the believing on sutra and driving thought. So he said, so ultimate nature and emptiness of the ultimate nature. Emptiness of the other power natures. Other power natures and emptiness of other power natures. So some believe that other power natures and ultimate natures both ultimately exist. Because they truly exist. Whatever that truly exists has to be ultimate natures. So Asanga says, if the emptiness of 8 branches of the path is substantially separated as 8 branches that are substantially separated by the cause and condition, and then emptiness of those 8 branches has to have a cause, and then that means emptiness are produced by the cause and conditions, and whatever the produced by cause and conditions cannot be ultimate. And if you and then he says Lama Tsongkhapa here says, if you kind of believe same as the previous the someone who is saying that ultimate other power natures and the emptiness of the other power natures are the both the ultimate existence, and there is another Lama Asanga's the text is Utha means the Maitreya says ultimate nature is the only one. So only one. I think there's many the words coming out. He just they grab one word. Ultimate is the only one. So ultimate is the only one. What does that mean? Is ultimate is the only one that is the main object of the direct yogic perceptions. And Asanga and Vasubandhu make the commentary on that the word. It says within the three natures, right, the emptiness is within the three natures. Emptiness cannot be imputation natures. Emptiness is not the productions, other power natures. Emptiness only belong to ultimate natures. That is the meaning of that. Yeah, ultimate is the only one. Yeah. So there's you can make kind of interpret that. So one that is also there's many you can lead that the meaning of you can interpret that meaning of ultimate is the only one. So one that you can say is ultimate is the only one, the object of the direct yogic perceptions. Ultimate is the only one, the object of the ultimate consciousness. And again, you can say ultimate is the only one means ultimate is the only one. There is only one. among the three natures, among the three natures, how to say, other power natures not ultimate, imputation natures not ultimate. It's only one, that is the emptiness. Right.
So is emptiness the ultimate here?
Yeah, emptiness the only ultimate nature. Yeah.
Is that a permanent or impermanent phenomenon?
Emptiness is always a permanent. Yeah.
But you can always ask, but is it permanent? Is that imputational?
Yeah. If you think that, so we have a belief, we have understanding that, so table and chairs are the substantial separated. And then you say emptiness of the table and emptiness of the chair, and also separated. Mm-hmm. And the separation of the two emptiness and the separation of the functional things, and one separation that is substantially separated, and one separation that's not substantially separated. Right? If you believe as the same, right, and chair and table is substantially separated, right, and emptiness of those two chair and the table is also substantially separated. Now, the previous one, the table and chair is substantially separate. Substantial here, they substance. What substance that separated that? As the cause and the condition of that table and chair. Mm-hmm. So then if you again believe that emptiness of those two table and chair are the substantial, what substance that separated those two emptiness? And if you... there is a substance that is separating that two emptiness, that means you are believing that those two emptiness has a cause and condition. Yeah. If emptiness produces a cause and condition, emptiness cannot be ultimate. So if you so whatever the producible cause and condition, the productions are cannot be ultimate. Ultimate is the only one, that is the emptiness. Right. So I think, yeah. So this commentary, sometimes we have to take exit and come back and come back and exit and come back, so then we will understand what is they talking about. You can just go on the freeway just directly. I think because of that, so Lama Tsongkhapa is the one, he's also making a commentary on Sutra and Driving Thought by relying on Asanga's text. And Asanga, when you read Asanga text, that is also making commentary with arguing with some misinterpretations, right? Yeah, I think we live there. 7:30. So then I'll get Sue from Namgyal Monastery.
Don't worry.
We will do it on the internet.
In America, you have, unless you're rich. Uh-huh. If you're not rich, don't worry about getting Sue. Hire a lawyer and everything.
Just sue me.
Expensive.
Yeah, just sue me.
Yeah, just sue me. You know that,